It starts when I was 21 years old. I'm a senior at UCLA, but on this day, I'm in Los Angeles Federal Court, and I am in the basement, and I am being arrested for the second time. I am an illegal alien, and I am turning myself in. When I was 12 years old, my parents came to this country on their visitor visas, fully expecting to overstay and build a life in this country. My father naively believed that if they just came here and applied themselves and worked hard, they would find a way to become Americans. That is not how immigration law works in this country. Eventually, they found that there was one possible chance. If we turned ourselves in as illegal aliens, we had the right to a hearing. And at that hearing, if the judge said yes, we could stay and become citizens. If he said no, we would have to leave. There would be no going back to the lives we had built in America. We had to convince the judge on three grounds. One, that we had made meaningful ties to the country. Two, that we had good moral character. And three, that the deportation itself would cause undue harm. There was one problem. Because of my age, I was no longer included in my parents' we. They had a business here. They employed citizens. They had a child born in this country. I had none of these things. My only chance was to have my case heard on the same day by the same judge and hope that the strengths of my parents' case would inform the decision made on mine. But my paperwork got lost after my first arrest, and that's how I found myself in the basement of LA Federal Court. I should tell you that the basement also doubles as the jail. So when I'm down there, my arresting officer asks me to button my shirt all the way up to my collar. And then he leads me past men in shackles who thrust their hips at me obscenely. They are close enough that they can lick the air around me. My mugshot is so small, you cannot see the cold sweat of fear on my face. So I sign a paper that promises I will show up for my hearing when I'm ordered to do so. It takes 2 years. But my date arrives. Our attorney informs us that in Los Angeles, there are 7 judges who sit on the federal immigration bench. 3 of them, he tells us, they are really just looking for a reason to let you stay. The other 3, they need to be convinced, but we have a pretty good case. The last one, he tells us, has a nickname. He's called the Hanging Judge. On the day of our hearing, we're gathered in the cafeteria. My dad is working the room because we've invited people to come and support us. And I'm looking around, and he's giving coffee in foam cups to people. And I see my roommate and her mother. I see the retired teacher couple who gave my parents money when we ran out. The husband, he's an avid hunter, a Republican, and an NRA supporter. My parents, they're pretty liberal, and they're lifelong vegetarians. But these are the people who saved us. And then I see my attorney. He walks in. "Listen," he says. "We got the hanging judge. There's no going back now. We have to get to court. It's noisy to move 30 people from the cafeteria to the courtrooms, so people are starting to come out of their cubicles and their offices wondering what's going on. It turns out it's pretty unusual to have 30 people show up to a deportation hearing. Our attorney just takes it upon himself to walk through the hallways announcing, "Hey, all these people here today, they're here for my clients, this family." and we were marching down to the courtroom. My dad is holding the door open so people come in, and suddenly there's a loud voice behind him. Shut the door! We turn around. It's the judge. He's already angry. My dad lets go of the door and sits down as he is told to do so. The judge is looking at the paperwork. The first thing he says, these people are immediately deportable. There's no reason for a hearing here today. Why are you wasting my time? The prosecuting attorney who represents the Immigration and Naturalization Service stands up. Your Honor, in light of the people who seem to have shown up for this case today, I think we should hear it. The judge grumbles, but he lets the bailiff call order, and my dad takes a stand. He answers some questions. Witnesses are called. A psychologist takes a stand. He talks about my brother. He's 8 years old, and he's having nightmares because he's afraid he's going to be separated from his family, that we will abandon him. So the judge is upset, and he tells my dad to sit down. He says that's enough. He doesn't want to hear anything else. Then he looks up from the papers, and it's clear he's made a decision. Well, he said, in light of all these people you've stuffed into my courtroom today, the deportation is canceled. It's amazing. People get up, they're screaming, they're shouting, they're crying. Everyone is so happy. Everyone is crying except me. Because I realize he's taken my case in his hand. And the first thing he does is slam it to the bench. You're kidding me, right? You're kidding me, because like this case truly has no merit. My attorney gets up. Your Honor, it's clear that this young lady is part of the family we just heard from. She's just had a few birthdays, and her case has to be heard separately. You think this is a birthday party for the girl? Let me ask you a question, attorney. How long have you been an attorney in this country? My lawyer is dangerously red in the face, but the INS prosecuting attorney stands up. Your Honor, I think we should hear this case. So I'm called to the stand. I take an oath to promise to tell the truth. The prosecutor asks me some questions about what I've been doing, and I tell them that I've been a student at UCLA. He asks me if I've ever had a job here, and I start to sweat. The truth is, for the last few months at UCLA, I took an office job. I want to explain that I am really sorry I did that. I was applying to graduate school and I didn't have money for my applications. I want to explain that for the 4 years I have been at UCLA, I have been borrowing my roommate's clothes, and just for once, I wanted to have my own jacket in my own size. I am so scared. The judge asks me to answer the question. Have you worked in this country illegally? Yes, sir, I have. I see my father's face. He bows his head. He didn't know. My attorney gets up to offer some character witnesses. The judge tells him to sit back down. I am so afraid. Where will they send me? Will they send me to India, where my ancestors are from? I've never lived there. Will they send me to Kenya? I was 6 weeks old when my parents moved from Kenya to England. And then I realized they'll send me to England, where I can be a Paki again, where I can be the brown girl on the bus that no one will sit next to. The judge calls the attorneys to the bench, sends them to sit back down. I'm all alone on the stand. I'm looking out at the people who have shown up for me today, on that day. They are white, they are black, they are Mexican. Some are educated, some are rich, some are working class. They are all strivers, they are all dreamers, they are all American. I look at the judge. I can tell he's made his decision. This way or that way, stay or go. Who will I be without a home, without my family, without my friends? And then I see that the judge is looking at the people as well. The order to deport is canceled. I am so excited. I finally let my tears fall. I'm finally home.